Hello and welcome to the 26th episode of the Radiant Sessions podcast. I am your host, Lou Selenia, and as always, I am so grateful that you are joining me. I'm so grateful for everyone who's been listening from episode one, as well as the new people who are joining in on this journey to be radiant. This week, I'm going to share a little bit more about myself, something a little fresh, but still in line with what we've been talking about for the last few weeks about shadow work and the journey of healing that we are on, hopefully. Hopefully, if you haven't started, you feel encouraged to start your healing journey. As I say often, all the time, if not in every single episode, healing is a journey and not a destination. So let me back up to give you some context. You know, I've been, if you're new, you may not know, but I have been in therapy off and on for the last several years. I started while I was in the midst of an abusive relationship, and it helped to give me clarity to realize that I was in an abusive relationship and I needed to get out and continue to do the work even after that to, you know, unpack the trauma, to, really do the healing that I needed to do from childhood, abandonment issues, you know, really do the shadow work that, you know, we've been talking about. And with the pandemic, when we started the pandemic, I wasn't in therapy at the time. I had been reaching out to my old therapist and, you know, things got disconnected and just really didn't work out. So I found a new therapist once I realized how much the pandemic and being on lockdown and all that was affecting me. And as well as that, also dealing with, you know, a little bit of PTSD now that I was in a new relationship and struggling with, you know, relationship anxiety and things like that. And it's been helpful somewhat. It hasn't been as groundbreaking as my first bout with therapy. And, you know, I had gone back and forth on whether or not it was just maybe that my therapist wasn't a good fit, or, you know, maybe it's just I'm in a different place and I'm not necessarily going to continue having these epiphanies that I was having before. And right now we're just more fine tuning and, you know, and doing things like that. But I couldn't get rid of this nagging feeling that there was something else. There's something else that I'm missing. You know, I know that, you know, I know my triggers for the most part. I'm very, very aware of them now. I'm very aware of my trauma. I've done the work, and not that I'm, you know, quote unquote over it, but I had gotten to a very healthy place in dealing with it. You know, I am learning to cope with my anxiety and how to really combat that. And I know my triggers and what, you know, or so I thought, what, you know, brings around my depression and how to deal with that. And, you know, which again brought me to sensuality, because sensuality really helped me to, you know, really deepen my spiritual practice and really get into myself and physically, emotionally, spiritually, so that I could be a person who doesn't just react to my triggers, but someone who is proactive and using sensuality to maintain as a mode of self-care was really, and is, and still is, very helpful to me. But stepping away from the office, stepping away from life as we knew it because of the pandemic, really started to strip away some things. And I didn't really understand what was going on, but I just could not let go of the thought, of the feeling that, okay, you have a level of awareness of all those things, and that's great. Not to take away the work that I have done in the last few years and the progress I've made and how I've grown and all that, but there's something else. And I didn't know what it was, but I just couldn't let it go, that there's something else. You know, during this time, like, I'm struggling to get up during the day. I'm going to bed at somewhat decent hours, you know, between 12 and 1, maybe 2, but I don't have to get up and, you know, be at work, quote unquote, until between 9 and 10. And even when I was getting 8-9 hours of sleep, the quality of sleep was terrible. I was having struggling focusing. I'm noticing, you know, struggles that I'm having in connecting with people, and, you know, looking back at relationships in the past and realizing, oh wow, this is something that I've always struggled with. I just didn't really pay any much mind to it, because to some degree or another, I've always been somewhat of a loner anyway. And, you know, it was just all these things. And so I remember one day several months ago, not really looking for anything, but just kind of getting sucked into the internet and coming across a, like, self-assessment on whether or not you could be on the spectrum. And it's not something that I ever really suspected of myself, but I was like, hey, why not? And I scored pretty high. And a lot of the things that it said, you know, made sense a little bit. Some of it didn't, but some of it did. I took it to my therapist and, you know, she pretty much dismissed it. And so I put it to the side. I was like, okay, well, maybe that's not it. But I still, again, couldn't, you know, I'm telling her the struggles that I'm having. It's just not making sense. I'm healthy. I went to the doctor. I'm taking vitamins. I'm, you know, being conscious about what I'm eating. You know, I am getting out of the house, making sure I'm getting fresh air, making sure I'm moving my body, you know, all of these things. And so all this other stuff that was, you know, being made aware of in my life just didn't make sense. And then maybe a month or so ago, I can't remember, I joined TikTok. For the longest time, I was like, I'm not joining any more social media. People share their TikToks with me. That's enough. And one night I decided, I'm going to do it. Went and set up my account, you know, and started scrolling, watching videos. And maybe a few days into my TikTok membership, I started coming across videos from ADHD TikTokers. And very early on, these videos began to blow my mind. These people, men, women, black, white, otherwise, were describing things that explained so much and also gave me language for experiences that I didn't realize weren't normal, per se, normal in the neurotypical sense. They were normal for me because I had been doing them my entire life. I had been dealing with these things my entire life. And so there began my, what some people have said, my obsession, but in, you know, ADHD, neurodivergent terms, my hyperfocus. I went down the rabbit hole, all the articles, podcasts, you know, magazines, you know, therapists and doctors, and reading everything, watching any video, webinar, signing up for webinars. Like, I needed to know as much as humanly possible about this thing, because remember the last time I went to my therapist with the autism spectrum thing, she completely dismissed it and was like, yeah, whatever. You know, we could talk about these things, but yeah, that's one. It's not likely. Two, it's a very slim chance. It's very hard to diagnose people with autism as an adult. So, you know, so I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I don't feel like she's going to be supportive of this, but, you know, I can't just walk away from this, because the more I read, the more I researched, the more videos I watched, the more people that have been diagnosed with ADHD who were sharing their stories and sharing their experiences, the more it resonated with me, the more it turned so much of what I thought I knew about myself, about my mental illnesses and depression and anxiety, about my healing journey, just seemed to distort everything. And I had to get answers. I had to. Like, I couldn't let this go. I did eventually bring it up to my therapist, and she's like, well, you know, why do you need a diagnosis? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, if I'm, you know, okay, if I can go to someone who specializes in ADHD and they're like, yeah, I can see why you might think this way, but it doesn't really quite fit or whatever. But if I do, and I am diagnosed with ADHD, there are resources. It's not just about coping mechanisms. Like, there's medication. ADHD medication, from what I've read, is one of the most effective medications for any type of quote unquote mental illness. And so, you know, I couldn't let it go. I knew that she wasn't going to be the one to support me in this. And quite frankly, I expected it, not only because of the conversation that we had about the autism spectrum, which now makes sense because, you know, there are neurodivergent cousins, but because she just either wasn't, it's out of her depth, and maybe she just didn't want to say that she wasn't qualified to assess me, or she just resisted the idea of even going down that route to see if I could be. And so, you know, I listened, I learned, quite a few ADHD TikTokers that I followed actually went through their experience with getting diagnosed and shared tips and shared, you know, what they ended up bringing, because a lot of people do have a hard time getting diagnosed, especially as adults, especially as women, especially as a Black woman, because women and girls are not diagnosed very often, because ADHD generally presents itself very, very different in women and girls, in that we tend to not be what most people consider as ADHD in the hyperactivity part of it externally. If we are hyperactive, we generally are hyperactive very internally, or we're not, you know, necessarily presenting as hyperactive. We're presenting as inattentive, you know, daydreaming, lack of focus, those kinds of things. And growing up, like, girls were not diagnosed with ADHD pretty much at all. And in the, you know, in the science community, we are considered the lost girls for that very reason. The other thing that I learned is that ADHD is highly inheritable. And so often, if you've been diagnosed with it, you oftentimes will have one or two, both parents that probably weren't diagnosed with it, because mind you, they're even older, especially if it was your mom. And if you have children, it's also very highly likely that your child will inherit it from you. I have a friend who actually is going through the diagnosis process herself, but from a different perspective, because her child was diagnosed with ADHD and was, she learned that, you know, it's probably very likely that you or her father has it. And she started realizing that a lot of the things that they were telling her about her daughter resonated with her. And so, you know, she's going about it in that avenue. I don't have children, but as I read and researched and devoured everything that I could, I realized, like, oh my God, my mom likely has ADHD. I wasn't raised with my dad, so I can't really speak on that. I don't really know him all that well to say whether or not it would fit him. But with my mom, absolutely. Now, I don't, you know, she doesn't go to therapy or anything like that, so I haven't really talked to her about it or suggested that she gets assessed. But yeah, in my unprofessional opinion, if I got it from anyone, I definitely got it from her. I'm not going to necessarily go so super deep on ADHD, but I do want to bring up some points. If this is something that you think you might be struggling with, I definitely encourage you to, you know, find some resources there. If you can't find a doctor who does assessments, there are some online websites that will do assessments and even be able to prescribe you with medication if you want to go that route. And again, if you have questions, as I always say, and you need some resources or some help to point you in the right direction, I definitely encourage you to email me at radiant@lucelenia.com or DM me at The Radiant Sessions, THEE Radiant Sessions on Instagram, and I will definitely send you information that helped me to come to this conclusion. And just before I even go into some more information on that, I'm also not speaking right now from just, I think I have it. I actually went and found someone who does a psychiatric nurse practitioner and who was taking new patients and did my assessment and was officially diagnosed with ADHD inattentive. And I am about a week into starting my medication. What I was given was Strattera, which is not a stimulant. So it's going to take a couple weeks for it to, you know, start to work. And this is something that she said they like to start people with just to see how it fits. And if it doesn't fit, then they would, you know, try another medication. So, yeah. So, just some information. There's three defining features of ADHD that explain every aspect of the condition. Number one, ADHD is an interest-based nervous system, meaning we tend to do the things and be engaged in the things that we find interesting. It's not necessary. It's not importance based, which is not helpful necessarily in a capitalistic society. So yeah, I'll leave that there without going too much further into that. Number two, emotional hyperarousal, and number three, rejection sensitivity. Now, for me, a lot of the things that I was struggling with, being that my ADHD presents more as inattentive, were, and these are, you know, symptoms that I was struggling with and have struggled with since I was a child, which also is a very, let me take a pause right here. This is a very important thing. These symptoms are not, just even if you don't have ADHD, doesn't mean that you can't suffer from these and struggle with these symptoms. These are common things that you've probably heard or struggle with. One of the main things about ADHD is that it's not necessarily something that presents itself only in adulthood. It has to present itself in at least two areas of your life and negatively impact you since before the age of 12. Now, it can change and, you know, all those things, but the childhood aspect of it. So if you think this is something that aligns with you, it's actually a kind of catch 22 because a lot of people with ADHD can struggle with memory. So it's like, well, how can I tell you that this affected me as a child if I can't remember my childhood? So if you can, there's someone in your life that knew you back then. If maybe you have records from school and notes from your teachers on your report cards that might have said, oh, they struggle with paying attention or things like that, or they're disruptive. All those things can help if you do decide to go along the route of gaining an actual diagnosis of ADHD. So, again, for me, I realized that a lot of the struggles that I was having were unregulated focus. I have always struggled focusing in, you know, meetings now, in class as a child. I would try really hard to listen, but my brain is thinking about a million different things. So focusing on one thing, especially when I'm not interested in it. Because remember, I said it's an interest-based nervous system. So if I wasn't interested in it, I would lose focus so easily. I would get in trouble in church all the time, you know, and it wasn't, again, a lot of us weren't paying attention in church, but again, remember I said it has to happen in more than one part of your life. You know, it's easy to explain why a child wouldn't pay attention in church, but if you're struggling to pay attention everywhere and really stay focused everywhere, then, you know, we can start to realize, oh, maybe there's something else is going on. Part of unregulated focus is, again, difficulty focusing unless interested in the topic. You hyper-focus when you are interested in the topic. Again, that was big for me because, again, I struggle with focusing in school and class and things like that, things that bored me. But if I picked up a book and it was really, really good, not only would I devour that book, I could not let that go until it was finished. I think when I was a kid, like, they would let us take like maybe 12 or 15 books at a time. And I would take all of them because I was going to read all 12 to 15 books at a time. And I used to get in trouble a lot because if I started a book and it was really, really long and I wasn't finished and it's time to go to bed, guess who was up reading in the dark? Me. And I couldn't put it down. I couldn't. Like, I just couldn't. I would get in trouble. I would get yelled at. Oh my God, you gotta go to sleep. You're gonna be tired in the morning. I just could not put it down. You prefer to start and finish a big task in one sitting. You jump around from small task to small task. You might struggle to pay attention when people are talking. So not just in like meeting sessions or class or things like that, but even in conversation, you could be doing, like, have every intention, or this is your friend. This is someone that you actually want to talk to, but you even struggle to pay attention in those conversations. Procrastination. A person with inattentive ADHD is likely a chronic procrastinator. Again, procrastination is something that a lot of people, dare I say most people, struggle with. But the difference between people, you know, neurotypicals who might struggle with procrastination and people with ADHD is we tend to procrastinate not just on things that we don't want to do, but we can procrastinate and will procrastinate on things that we really, even those things that we want to do. We need the pressure of failure or other negative consequences to focus. So if there is no deadline and it's open-ended, whew, that's tough. That's a rough one. It's going to be overwhelming because our brain just doesn't know how to compute that. Time blindness. It's not just that you're late all the time. It's that your concept of time and the meaning of it is not innate. And so you are unable to sense the passing of time. You have a difficulty estimating how long something will take, and a difficulty planning tasks because you can't estimate how long they'll take. You run late for appointments, or you arrive way too early because you're worried about being late. Yeah. Object permanence. A person with ADHD may struggle to remember things that are not in their immediate line of vision. There's a TikTok video of this lady who I believe struggles with ADHD, and she's literally looking her fridge, and something that I struggle with, that if I don't see it, it's going to go bad. So she's like, well, I know that the fridge is created by a neurotypical because you put all the vegetables in the crisper and they go to die. At least for us with ADHD, if we don't see it, we don't remember it. So she goes and decides, I'm going to rearrange my fridge so that the things that are fresh and are going to go bad quicker are things that I see the moment that I open the fridge so that I don't forget that they're there and I eat them. Just an example. Executive dysfunction. A person with ADHD may have executive dysfunction, including difficulties with planning, problem solving, organization, and time management. Impulsivity. They have trouble thinking through the consequences of an action before they do that action. Emotional regulation. They tend to feel emotions more intensely than neurotypical people and are at a heightened risk for experiencing rejection-sensitive dysphoria. And some other things that people with ADHD may experience: perfectionism due to masking, because we learn to mask, which is also why it can be difficult to be diagnosed as an adult, anxiety, fatigue, stimming. For Black people, stimming could be beatboxing, tapping on the table, twerking, patting on our head, brushing our waves. You know, it's you can read the energy of a room. Picking at skin could also be stimming. Biting nails, repetitive movements, twirling our hair, etc. Again, I said I wasn't going to take too much time, but I definitely wanted to highlight some points. And I wanted to highlight some points because this has been hard. It's been hard. Let me slow down. It was very validating to finally realize, like, okay, I wasn't wrong in sensing that there was something else that was affecting me that wasn't just depression and anxiety and trauma related, which is also another thing. A lot of people with ADHD often struggle with what is called comorbidities. So if you have ADHD, it's also very likely that you might have depression or anxiety. And then realizing that the depression and anxiety that I was experiencing largely was because of my ADHD. Like, I was feeling like a failure because I'm procrastinating and I have executive dysfunction and I suffer from rejection sensitive dysphoria and, you know, my relationships and, you know, all of these things that I now know is rooted in this diagnosis. And so here I am thinking I have a pretty good handle on my mental health. I've been doing this for a few years, and here's this new revelation that you did good not to sit here and completely disregard all the work that I've been doing the last few years, because it definitely wasn't for nothing. It definitely has value. I've definitely grown, and I'm definitely a much better, more peaceful, more loving, more joyful person than I was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And also, I believe that I'm coming to this diagnosis at a time that I was ready for it, so that I can get to the next level. Again, healing is not a destination. It is a journey. And so now that I've been able to do, I did that work and continue to do the work on the traumas and the childhood stuff. Now I'm able to bring this in and do the work here. And I'm not going to lie, like, in this past week or so, like, it definitely hit me really hard. Like, once I got the diagnosis and was like, damn, I feel like I got to start all over again. I feel like I was in a good place and, you know, and definitely got down on myself a little bit. But I encouraged myself. I spoke life over myself. I showed myself grace. And I tell myself that how proud I am of me for advocating for myself, for not allowing that therapist to be the end of the discussion and to use my resources to find someone who was better qualified to give me the answers I was looking for. And, you know, I would have been sad if she would have said, nah, you don't qualify. But at least I would have tried if that would have been the answer. It still wouldn't have been for nothing because, again, I was putting myself first. And so now that I know and I'm on this medication and being monitored by this nurse practitioner, I'm on this journey and I'm looking forward to what is going to come of it and how I'm going to grow from this place. And I will continue to take you guys along for the ride. I hope this helps. And again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, feedback, please visit www.lucelenia.com. And if you would love to give me a gift, go on iTunes and leave me a review and let me know what you think. Until next week, continue to shine bright and be radiant like the sun. Love you all. Bye-bye.